Now, let me go through the changes a little bit from 45 to 95 and tell you a little bit about it. Right off the top of my head, and 45 is during World War II. The agriculture was producing, and what foodstuffs we were making, and in most cases has been shipped to the soldiers, and the soldiers were eating a lot of this, and the civilian population had to kind of take what was left. So the agriculture in the small family farms was producing in 1945 was during World War II, and the food went to the soldiers for the war effort. I very well remember such things as the sugar. Could not buy any sugar. It was all ration, and there wasn't many things that you could buy at the grocery stores in the way of food to buy to eat. All the rural people produced their own foods to have, and one of the advantages we had at the home was having a family farm, and of course, as we said, the gin and the cotton and the store business was we fed our own self and tried to help the people by making sure that the tenant people had we produced we made sure that they had the raw material in the way of fertilizers and plow points and things that they needed to help them make a crop and also to help feed their self. All right, now then, 45. Then the next, everything goes in time frames. As you get older, you'll realize that things change and the time frames change. A time frame for me is 10 to 12 years, 15 years. Every 10 or 12 years is a block of time. And sometimes it will overlap into another time frame. In most every situation, certainly in agriculture, the time frames are blocks of 10 or 12 years overlapping. A lot of this is dependent on the technical aspects of the equipment and techniques that they're learning how to grow different things and how to do that. So things are in time frames. If you'll study it, you'll show that. All right, in 45 and 55, 10 years. All right, then the end of World War II, the things began to get back to normal, and it took several years to adjust that time frame in there to get things back. From sending it all to overseas or to the soldiers back into the population to be able to have free trade around the areas, the cities, and be able to have it for sale and produce it for them. Certainly the equipment, you couldn't buy a tractor in 45, but in 55 it changed up and it began to let us buy some things that we needed. Tires. I remember very well not being able to buy tires for the tractor, tires for the car, for the trucks to haul the things that we needed. Like fertilizer, I'd go to Anniston and get a load every Friday. We had to go to Anniston to buy all the things that the resources we needed for the people to have to use that. So the times change. Okay, you see that was after World War II. Things began to come back to normal, and certainly it was certainly tried to be better than it was in the Depression days ahead of World War II. So there's a time in there that shows up very well. Okay, you skip from 55 to 60 to 65, then things begin to improve, and we learned lots of the resources and from Auburn University and learning to new ways of farming. All that changed. The equipment changed. They began to have the resources to develop research and development, which Auburn was, and to bring in new equipment to help us. In the late 40s, they had to milk cows by hand. In 1965, they had milking machines in early development of the glass pipelines. You never touch the milk. So you see there's a difference there's 20 years of difference in time frame. Okay, from 65 to 75 to 85, you kept progressing not only in technical aspects, but also the learning, the development, research to how to have new crops, better crops, learn how to develop the soils and learn what pH was and learn how to do the things we needed to help the farming situation. Also, as the time changes, the crops he produced change. In 45, the only thing we could sell was cotton. In 65, we, 20 years later, we began to sell a lot of things, beef cattle. Then poultry began to make a big hit. Up in that time, people just had a few chickens and eat what they had and produce their eggs. But in 65, 75, and 80, you began to see on Sand Mountain and Cleburne County, big, long houses, and you wonder what those were. Those were poultry houses, and the companies that began to develop the poultry in order to have people to eat more chicken. So all that changes. All right, from 85, of course, the same trend happened to keep developing in 95. All right, one of the big differences, or two or three big differences, are these. One is the numbers of farms in 45 dropped drastically to 95, where I'm talking about in the ratio of, if you had 50 farms in an area, in 45 and 95, it may be three or four farms. You see the difference in numbers. Okay, the other thing was what few farmers, the three farmers out of the 60 that's still in business, they produce way more food and way more fiber and way more crops than the total group did in the 60 group of people, you see? Mm-hmm. In other words, one farmer now will take care of what 60 farms used to do, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. 60 farms. So there's a big difference in what was doing. And the other big difference was the research and development of new crops and equipment to go along with it. So now then, in 95, I believe that if you want to take Calhoun County, the big thing here, the number one crop is probably now is poultry, followed behind with beef cattle and that order, okay? Cotton no longer, just a little bit of cotton is produced now. Cotton, and maybe though, that cotton may be making a little bit of comeback. I don't know how much, but I know that last year there was a few more acres of cotton than there have been, but not significant. All right, some of the things that happened in the late 80s and early 90s was some new things. And one of the things that was stressed was timberland, timber, pine timber. We needed paper products, pulpwood. That was in the early days, there was no such thing as selling timber because there wasn't no market for it. But the big difference now, 50 years later, they had the big demand on timber. Probably the highest price paid for timber, for pulpwood and paper products was last year. Tremendous increases in all that. So there's a lot of importance been placed in that. So that's the big difference. Okay, some new aspects have come into play. One of the things that comes to my mind immediately is catfish farming, where the man develops a lake on his farm and stocks it with catfish and they grow catfish and sell to markets like we used to sell milk to a milk production plant. These people now grow catfish and sell it, and they produce grade A meat from catfish farms for the people, and it's tremendously large in Mississippi and Alabama. So that's one of the new crops. The timber is big, tremendous changes from the early days. So those are two things, and if we had more time, we could tell you about some of the other things.
Okay. I know we've talked about your dairying, your military, environmental career, but how did your dairying interface with your military and environmentalist careers?
How did the dairying interface with environmental and military careers? Okay. Of course, let me go back to going to school at Auburn University. And my major is had a major in military science and also in animal nutrition. And took a lot of courses in dairy sciences and all about the dairy situation. All right, I immediately went to Korea and came back. I didn't want to stay in the military. They tried to get me to stay in the military, but I elected to come back and work on a civilian status with my family, farming situations, and also to work with public health service. And also, I elected to stay in the National Guard and be active in all that. Well, now then the word interface comes in. It was very hard to work 8 hours for the public health service and deal with all the people and check it and be responsible for those things, and at the same time have my own dairy farm and operations going with my hired help and not being able to be there like I was. So the interface there was pretty tough, even though the best thing I had going was the fact that I was well trained and could hire my own people and teach them on the spot and knew about it. I didn't have to go out to get somebody else to help. So the interface there was to help my own dairy situation, the labor of the families that live with me to help. The military thing, interfacing with that, was I was commissioned as an officer and went through the ranks and was commander of units most of my time. Went from commission to up to full colonel in the Army, and that included a lot of training in education, leadership, and how to work with people and the technical, how to learn about technicalities and how to handle problems and how to do that. So the interface there was very good in order for me to not only help my own people and help myself and have an organized method of trying to help the people, help the problems, and have a plan of action and set it up in an SOP for not only the my own place, but for the other people too. You see, I learned leadership, and as the years went through, all my 30, 40 years, I was every year would always be in training to enhance all those things that would help people, help myself, and help the military, and help everything. I learned about it. I was in charge. I was commander, and I tried to be fair. I was very well educated in all those aspects and kept up to date on it, and I learned that interface there was turned out to be good not only for the dairy, but for the public health, for the people, and also the military. Some of the negative part of it was like, for instance, I would be being a commander in North Alabama on weekends. I'd have to leave home in the middle of the night on Friday night, leave the dairy situation, and not knowing, you know, it's kind of hard to leave. You, things that must be done have to be done regardless of weather, regardless of the equipment. Cows had to be milked twice a day, and get up there after being there a day, somebody give me a call and say that we had a problem and I was 6 hours away. And I learned to interface and learned to manage and learned to have backup resources and have resources in place if they had a problem that we could call on a situation that I had already planned and be able to work through it. I don't remember a time that we never missed a milk and for any reason at all. So the interface of all that was kind of hard on me because I had to spend anywhere from 12 to 16 hours a day in a combination of looking after my family, looking after a dairy, looking after public health service and a lot of other people, and looking after the military also. I was called back to active duty on several occasions, and especially in 62, and I stood in the schoolhouse door and was called upon and when many times would lose money in the dairy business by not being on the spot at home or at the dairy situation, even though we never missed a milking. But I've seen times that we would have been better if I'd have been closer by. So then you see about the interface, it was very difficult for me. I'd be in Jasper, Alabama as a battalion commander and be snowed in and couldn't get back home on Monday. Well, you know, you know that the interface and working through that was kind of difficult. I remember one time I would take my vacation let my people off at the dairy, the guys who milk the cows. I would let them off and their families off for Christmas, and I would pick up and work through that and let them off. Then after Christmas, 3 or 4 days, I would take my time from other things and take a vacation. And one of the things I would do would go to the Orange Bowl. I love to go to Florida through the Orange Country on my own in wintertime and go to be at the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day to watch Auburn or Alabama. And I very well remember one time Alabama playing Nebraska, I believe, and was there, and I heard the people sitting next to me said the snow was 12 inches in Birmingham and still snowing, And I thought, oh my goodness, what's that doing in Anniston at the dairy? They can't, you know, can they operate? And there I was several hours, 12, 15 hours away, and didn't know what could happen. But as it turned out, of course, after the game came, I decided to come on back. But my people were well trained. The interface had worked well for how we had it planned, and not had a problem. But of course, it kind of worried you knowing that we had 12, 15 inches of snow. You're in the dairy business. You must milk cows. You must have.